I bought myself a sefer. It's an amazing sefer. Whoever wants, it's an amazing sefer. It's the letters of Abchon Wasserman. It's incredible. Abchon Wasserman was murdered in the war, and it's a collection of his letters and psokim and all the things that he said. Primarily in it's called Begeit Salmovis. The one of the chapters called Begeit Salmovis. Literally, you know, the years before, in the 1930s, and you know, just before the war broke out. Once the war broke out. The challenges, he was the leader of the generation of Abchon Wasserman, the Shiva Baranovich, main and closest Talmud of Chofetz Chaim. And the challenges he went through, you just go through a couple of pages there and you see, oh, what we're going through today is just nothing, you know. It's just like a joke. It's just like, how dare we complain, you know. There were, you know, the shyness that they encountered, it's unbelievable. And then ultimately it stops abruptly in 1941 when he's murdered. You know, it's just incredible. It gives you a bit of a perspective, you know, if you feel a bit complaining and a bit of thing, go through a couple of pages and the Kovitz Mamor from Bukhon and Wasserman.
When the Sakma stops,
you've
got a holiday.
We go through officially, so we go through.
Oh, so you wouldn't take a holiday?
Yeah. I'm contractually entitled to take it, but I'm saying I don't want to. Yeah, we also got cancelled, so. The mice, there was an interesting shayla there. I thought it was really interesting. I'm not sure if I saw it in Belchonon or in Chaim Oizer. They were both pretty much on the same league, you know, between the wars, the Gdolim, the Torah giants in Lithuania, Poland, between the wars, Abchaim Oizer Gojenski, probably the Gadol Hadar, I suppose he can be said, the absolute, ultimate giant. And not very far from him was Abchon Wasserman, the closest Talmud of Chofetz Chaim, who released, you know, his famous trip, 1937-38, when he went to America. He was in England as well, a few letters were sent, but Abchon sent a few letters from England when he visited, when he was here. Also interesting, very interesting negotiations. It's really, really, really fascinating. But there was one shayla which Abraham Oizer was asked, and I think that's an interesting one. So they wanted to threaten some of the Mechalel Shabbos, the shops of Mechalel Shabbos, a Yidden who owned various kinds of shops. And it was very, very difficult financially, very, very challenging, very, very challenging years. And some people just couldn't bear the, and the new Shabbos is the main business. So they kept the shops open on Shabbos. So somebody wanted to threaten, and they did. You know, if you keep your shop open on Shabbos, then we will. We're not gonna. Then that was actually this was was. I'm not sure whether it was in Poland, in Russia, or in England. I'm not sure where the shayla took place. But Reb Chanan was asked that question. Question was, can we actually, you know, warn them that if you keep your shop open on Shabbos, we will, you know, nobody's allowed to, all the Yidden in that particular city or village or area is not allowed to buy by you. So make it like a, how should you call it, like a kind of financial economic cheirem. If you keep your shop open, you're going to lose all your Jewish clientele. Good idea or bad idea? So so the answer was that you can certainly, if you want to threaten, you know, you could perhaps threaten, yeah, perhaps not a bad idea. You know, you want to encourage people to keep Shabbos and to keep a shop open on Shabbos, make somebody a Mechal Shabbos for us, yeah, and it is really bad. However, he says, threatening is perhaps okay, it's probably okay, but he answered that actually when it comes to actually do it, when you actually do it, he says, I don't know if there's a heter to buy a goy if there's Yiddish shop around the corner. So ultimately, I don't know if there's a hazard to do that. So to threaten, you may, but to actually execute that psak, he says that I don't think you're allowed to. Because at the end of the day, he's a Yidin, it's panosa. And whether it's Michal Shabbos of Hesi or not, at the end of the day, you know, you've got to support Yid. You've got to support Yid. So he wasn't Mati at the end of the day. So I think it's very, very interesting. It gives us an insight. First of all, how he's just such an interesting psak. I think there's so much to think about. On the one hand, it shows how bad, you know, you've got to, of course, be strict. You know, people don't come on Shemchal Shabbos. You've got to try to help them to keep Shabbos. You have to encourage Shmira Shabbos on a Kehila-wide level, etc. But ultimately, after all that, if somebody still breaks Shabbos, you're still going to try to support him and help him, you know, in financially and economically. So it was a very, very interesting psak. Yeah, anyway, so but I think on the broader perspective, it gives us certainly an insight of the challenges that we are in nowadays compared to challenges that there was in the, you know, just a couple of generations ago. Okay, are you with me over here? The Zoomers, can you hear me well? Okay, yeah, can't see you very well, but yeah, as long as you can hear me, good. Okay, very good. We are learning, Rabbi Yisai. We are up to we started Chazal Hamoed. So this week's halachas, or today's halachas rather. is about haircuts and shaving. Now, the truth is, I always find it interesting. Let's go through halachas. It's about haircuts and shaving on Chol HaMoed. Haircuts and shaving Chol HaMoed. Haircuts, shaving Chol HaMoed. No haircuts. No. Now, it's interesting because I don't know. I was always wondering. How do you actually make a bit of a difference? The whole understanding of this simon remains what? Exactly, exactly. Yeah. Well, he was once Halacha Lemaiseh. Yes, remember those days. So the question is as follows. I don't know. We are all, you know, when we think about haircuts, we think about, you know, the equipment and the kelim that exist nowadays. I was never quite sure. You know, it says about, you know, even in the Gemara's time, it says that the Melech would have a haircut every day. Now, I don't know what that means exactly, have a haircut every day. How does that work? How could a king have a haircut every day? Kohen Gadol? Weekly, yeah, that's right. And the king, I think, also has got similar halacha. How do you do that? So the best pshat I ever got was you do different areas. You know, I don't know how that works exactly. But I just don't know exactly how you physically, the scissors must have been quite blunt and quite, but not quite sure how they did it, but Lamaise makes a bit of a difference on the Lamaise over here. We're going to see soon why. Let's see. Okay, we're on page 4. Dine Giluach b'chol HaMoed, halachas of haircuts and shaving on the Chol HaMoed. So, mitzvah legaleach be'erev Yom Tov. So, firstly, we've got to know there's a mitzvah to have haircuts be'erev Yom Tov before Yom Tov. What's the reason for that? Why is it that we've got to have haircuts before Yom Tov? Why? A mitzvah legalech b'yom tov, mitzvah legalech, k'dei shalek, says the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot Na'alev, k'dei in order, shalo yikanes, they shouldn't enter l'regel yom tov, k'shu menuvel, a person shouldn't enter yom tov when he's all like, unpresentable, what's the word, but menuvel, a bit, not presentable, not...
Disheveled.
Not what?
Disheveled.
Disheveled? Disheveled, never heard that word. Okay, he shouldn't be disheveled. Where does that come from? Disheveled? Where does that come from?
14th century.
No, it's just the word.
Okay, right. Okay, so a person should look presentable for Yom Tov. Now, in order to encourage that, people tend to be, I can see the psychology of that very well, because people for Yom Tov, people tend to be very, very busy. So imagine there would be a leeway that you can have haircuts on Chol HaMoed. Because Chol HaMoed, nobody can, people have got time, there's less work, people don't tend to be so busy, you know, right, great, I'm going to have my haircut on Chol HaMoed, you know. So people naturally delay it and push it off for Chol HaMoed. And the people therefore be very maneuver. They would keep save the haircut for after Yom Tov. They would do it in Chol HaMoed. After the first days. And they would have the haircut in Chol HaMoed. So therefore say, no. Hold on a sec. You're not allowed to have your haircut in Chol HaMoed. And thereby forcing people to have the haircut before Yom Tov. So mitzvah legalech be'ev Yom Tov. Now.
So it's not a problem with cutting hair per se. It's that the government didn't want you to sort of dishonor.
Yeah.
Tolerance.
Yeah.
Cutting's not a problem.
Yeah. So we're going to see that there is more to be said about cutting, but in principle we are learning now, you're 100% right. It's about honoring the Yom Tov. Correct. Now, Sifkot Beis tells us, Pe'erev Yom Tov, Bein Koidim Chatzoyis Yivein L'Acha Chatzoyis, whether it is before or after midday, you are meant to have a haircut before Yom Tov. Levad, excluding Meir of Pesach, we learned this in Hilchas Pesach, Pe'erev Pesach, to also list up Acha Chatzoyis. We learned in Tov Samachas, Hilchas Pesach, you may not have a haircut on Erev Pesach after midday. Do you remember why? It's a while ago. Why are we not allowed to have haircuts after Chatzos and Erev Pesach? So all the other Yom Tovim, Erev Sukkot, Erev Shavuos, you're allowed to have before and after Chatzos. That's it. So because it's Zman Shchitas Korban Pesach, and therefore it's a bit of Yom Tov, and therefore we have some Yom Tov elements in it, and therefore we don't have haircuts after midday on Erev Pesach. But all the other Yom Tovim, you both before and after Chatzos, you're allowed to have your haircut. By the way, I don't know if it's a... Does it mean that you have to have your haircut dafkon Erev Yom Tov, or it's okay to have a couple of days before? Does it mean that mitzvah legalech be'erev Yom Tov, does it mean literally be'erev Yom Tov, you have to find time, the busiest day of the year on Erev Pesach, you have to have your haircut on it, or does it mean you need to have be haircutted? Does that make sense? Do you need to be haircutted before Pesach? So therefore, you know, a couple of days before is also fine. What do you think it means?
Yeah.
It means that. The latter, yeah. No, you can't make it on Erev Sukkot. Like, go and find time to have a haircut. It's just not going to happen, right? So it probably, I don't know, it probably means, no, what do you think? I don't know, I honestly don't know.
Non-literal, yeah.
It's probably non-literal, right? Perhaps. Okay, Siv Beis. Now, Siv Beis comes to the real point. Ein megalchin b'moyet, you are not allowed to have a haircut b'moyet, on chalamoyet, afilu even im kilach koidem moyet, even if you had a haircut before. You're not allowed to finish it off on chalamoyet. Now, this is very much based on the reason why we need to have, why is it mitzvah legalach be'erev Yom Tov? Why is it that we need to have a haircut before Yom Tov? Because we don't want it to be minuval when Yom Tov comes in. So now what would be the halacha according to that? That if you had a haircut before Yom Tov, and now you need to have a second haircut on Chol HaMoed, could you do that? Say it didn't come out perfect, or, you know, it's just not quite right, was, you know, left some pieces, I don't know. So if you had a haircut before Yom Tov, can you have a finishing off one on Chol HaMoed? So the halacha is telling us, no, you can't. Even if you just had a haircut before Yom Tov, you still cannot have a haircut on Chol HaMoed. The Mishnah Berurah tells us in Sefkotan Gimel, the first few words tells us Ve'en Megalchin B'moyet. So Giluach literally means to shave. So whenever we talk about shaving and Megalchin throughout the entire Siman, we're not differentiating over here between haircuts and shaving. It's always the same thing. Because the olden days, when you used to have haircuts, used to be a shaving procedure. Now, I'm not quite sure how that means. Can anybody help me with this? Now, historically, I just don't exactly know, practically speaking. So, en megalchim b'moyet literally means you may not shave, but it also means haircuts, but normally people used to shave. So that means people used to shave off their, I don't know literally what it means. Well, why is shaving the correct wording? But all chassidish to shave off the, I don't know. Reb Gideon, how do you learn this? I don't know if it means. So it looks like people used to cut in a shaving way. I'm not sure. Okay, Siv Gimel. Now, what happens if a person was an onus? Afilu mayo onus. If a person was an onus, person was a
extenuating circumstances.
He was unable to have a haircut before Yom Tov. And because of that, he was unable to. He was physically, practically unable to have his haircut before Yom Tov. And that's why he didn't have his haircut before Yom Tov. Nevertheless, now that he's freed and available to have his haircut on Chol HaMoed, nevertheless, he can't have it on Chol HaMoed. And similarly, somebody was unwell, quite seriously unwell, and he got better on Chol HaMoed. So he was just unable to have his haircut before Yom Tov. And now suddenly on Chol HaMoed, Baruch Hashem, he got better. He got stronger, healthier, he's back to strength. So now he still can't have his haircut, and physically now he's capable, but he can't, it's forbidden to have his haircut on Chol HaMoed. So Mishmu explains this a little bit. Did you know that? Why is an unwell person not able to have his haircut before? Why is an unwell person not able to have his haircut? Why? So interesting. I mean, it's true. You don't see people who are unwell. You know, you don't have the strength to have haircut. So he says, the Mishnah Berurah says, Sha'omu, it is said, Sha'choyle, an unwell person, Kshu mesape, when he has his haircut, Machbit, olav, he gets heavy on him, difficult on him, Cholyo, his illness. And I can picture, you know, somebody's not well. If you really, a person is really not well, yeah? He's lying flat with temperature. He, imagine a person not having a haircut. He just doesn't have the strength for it. He's going to get... Yeah, I can picture it a bit. You know, it's just not, it's like one of those things. So therefore, it seems that there is a medical aspect. Mishnah Berurah says, you know, he's physically unable to have his haircut before Yom Tov. Nevertheless, if now Baruch Hashem is feeling better on Chol HaMoed, he's not allowed to have his haircut now. So although he was unable to have his haircut before Yom Tov, Now he's missed a boat.
If you're saying that if he's missed a few bits and he can't have a clearing up haircut on Chol HaMoed, what would be the half bit of a saying a choyler who misses the
boat? Oinus. There are some extreme circumstances which Chachamim have allowed to have a haircut on Chol HaMoed. So there's some extreme circumstances. Somebody who was freed from prison. Somebody was let out from prison. Right. He is allowed to have a haircut on Chol HaMoed. Okay. But, pardon? Yes. That's it. Yeah, Parsha, that's right. If he had no time, if there was no time to have his hair cut before Yom Tov. So that's example number one.
What is the reason why
Chachamim
can't have a haircut on Yom Tov if you...
On Chol HaMoed, you mean?
Sorry, if you started it before
Yom Tov. So if you had a bit of a haircut before. So it seems that the reason is that we want to ensure that people are going to have a full haircut before Yom Tov. If Chachamim categorically forbade having any haircut on Chol HaMoed, like a loy plug kind of thing. So that's the base asum, that's the Mishot's base asur, and somebody was let out of prison. And somebody was captured. Even if he was captured from Yidden, so somebody was captured by Yidden. I don't know which Yidden captured people, but you know, imagine Yiddish Yidden Jews who captured somebody else, and they would have allowed him. You know, you have a captive, but you're not to have a haircut by all means. They allowed him to have a haircut. Nevertheless, he didn't have a haircut. And he's coming now free. He's coming home free now in Chol HaMoed. Nevertheless, we're allowing him to have a haircut in Chol HaMoed. Why? Because he was captured or he was imprisoned before Yom Tov. V'chein, similarly, Hamenuda, somebody who was in Cherem, somebody who was excommunicated, Shetir Eloi Beregel, and he was freed from his Cherem on Yom Tov. That was very common that people were freed from their Cherem on Chol HaMoed or on Yom Tov. So now he was freed, he was a cherem, now he's freed. A person who's in cherem, one of the many things that are, you know, you don't have to have a haircut, you don't have to give him a haircut, you don't have to have a haircut. Now he's freed, he's okay, he's sorted himself out, he's done tshuva, so now he's allowed to have a haircut. Why? Because he was in cherem before Yom Tov, he was worse than an onus. He's allowed to have a haircut now. V'chein, case number three, mishenodah shelo legalach, so he made a neda, he made an oath, a shvua, that I am not having a haircut. Now, I'm not having a haircut. That's it. I'm just not having a haircut. He really wanted to go to town about this. And Venishal, Al-Nidu, and the Nidu was freed. The Nidu was redeemed on Yom Tov. So he is one of those exceptions who is allowed to have a haircut on Chol HaMoed. Case number four, V'chein, Habo Medidas Yom. That's an interesting one. Somebody comes from abroad. B'Chol HaMoed, on Chol HaMoed. Somebody who... made his trip, and you know, he came from, imagine somebody came from Eretz Yisrael, from America, from wherever it may be, and he's landed in Chol HaMoed. He's come from a Medina Sayom, from a far away, foreign, exotic country. He lands in Chol HaMoed, you'll have to have a haircut. Or somebody who just arrives from Medina Sayom, from an exotic, far, distant country. He comes just before Yom Tov, and there was no time for him to have a haircut. So these are all extreme circumstances, even beyond the owner's case. And these are cases that Chachamim have allowed to have a haircut on Chol HaMoed. And that is Shelo Yotzam Eretz Yisrael Chutz La'aretz Etayel. So there's one, you know, somebody lands suddenly on Chol HaMoed and he wants to have his haircut, we've said it's okay. But somebody comes from Eretz Yisrael, that's no good. If you come from Eretz Yisrael, we've said somebody comes from Medinat Hayom, he's allowed to have a haircut. That may be true, but not somebody comes from Eretz Yisrael. Why is that? Anybody who's got Zionist inclination, here is the point. That's the source for the Mizrahi movement. Don't show this to the Turi Kaat and to Satma. This is the. You know, if you come from Eretz Yisrael, If you come down from Etzel, that's, you know, that's called Yerida, and you're not, there's an Issa involved, yes, there's an Issa involved in moving away from Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, since you're doing something which is quite, it's not quite right to do that, so we're not going to allow you to have a haircut. You know, you have to wait until after Yom Tov, that's it. So if you come from Singapore, you come from, you know, from Zimbabwe, fine, by all means, have your haircut in the Cholamot. But if you come from Israel, no, you should have, you know, we have to wait now. Even within that, there's an exception within the exception. And Mishnah Berurah says if he came for a mitzvah reason, then he will be fine. So if a person comes from Eretz Yisrael and he's coming for a mitzvah reason, then he would be able to have a haircut if there was no chance beforehand. Okay. Now, the... The question is... let's look at the Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. B'chol, first white line. B'chol Amoed. V'dafka sheloi bo b'yishuv at chol Amoed. That's only if he landed in a civilized. He only arrived to a civilization in chol Amoed. But if he came from a civilized place, the heter wouldn't apply. Now, based on this, Avinash Shiva asked the question. And he says, okay, so let's just think about this for a minute. So what we say now, somebody who came from Singapore on Chol HaMoed. So you're going to tell him he's allowed to have a haircut? Is that what you're saying? Medina Sayom, I think we all agree that, you know, the Far East is a Medina Sayom. And okay, he's landed on Chol HaMoed now. Okay, so now we're telling him you're allowed to have a haircut? Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're saying? Because you come from a foreign country, you're allowed to have a haircut on Chol HaMoed? Doesn't sound right. Why?
Why would he be given a dispensation? You know?
Just because from, yeah, absolutely, very good. So this is pretty much what Rabbi Yashiv says. He says this made sense historically when you traveled. Why is this mutter? Why was it historically in times of Shulchan Aruch? Why is it permitted that somebody who came from Medina Sayom, he would be allowed to have a haircut? Why is it? Because how long did the travel? How long did the journey take? Long time, absolutely. It would take like 3 weeks, 4 weeks, you know. So he's gonna come. He landed on the Chol HaMoed. His hair looked like a hippie from the 1960s. So you know, he was for the first time he's touching. He's cleaning himself. He's having a shower in weeks, perhaps months. So he landed on the Chol HaMoed. He planned to come before Yom Tov. He didn't make it. He's here, you know, fine. So you know, he can sort himself out a bit, have a haircut. Of course, you said, you know, it's true. It comes with Asyam. That's weeks of journey. However, nowadays, how long does it take to come from Singapore, from Australia? How long is it? A couple of days. A day, yeah? A day or two, yeah? A day, yeah? So why would you allow him to have a haircut on Chol HaMoed? You know, why? There's no reason. Why? No, just forget, as you said. What was your words? That there's no...
Dispensation.
There's no dispensation. There's no... It doesn't make sense. So therefore, Avraham Yashiv says, this halacha nowadays wouldn't apply. And I think it makes a lot of sense. What do you think? It makes a lot of sense. So somebody who ends up in a civilization on Chol HaMoed, nowadays there's no head to fall. I think it makes a lot of sense. Not to have a haircut. Yeah. Okay, gentlemen, to summarize what we learned this evening, we spoke about the halachas of Legalach B'Yom Tov. We said that the person is meant to have a haircut before Yom Tov. And that's in order to encourage people to have their haircuts before Yom Tov. Chamin forbade having haircuts on Chol HaMoed, to ensure that people are going to sort themselves out before Yom Tov. A person is ideally meant to have, now if a person has a bit of a haircut before Yom Tov, that won't help him to have, you know, finish off on Chol HaMoed. There is a few exceptions, that those extreme circumstances, Chomiv have allowed him to have haircuts on Chol HaMoed. One of them is somebody's freed from prison. Somebody who has come from Medina Sayom. Somebody's made the neder that is not having haircuts. Somebody's freed from a cherem. Somebody who's come from a distant country. But as we just said now, Avraham Yashiv disagrees with that in current perspectives. And we said somebody comes from Eretz Yisrael, that's called the Yerida, and he's done something wrong. You're not meant to come down from Eretz Yisrael to settle in Chutz La'aretz, and therefore this had to wouldn't apply to somebody in such a situation. Anyway, good. We'll carry on this discussion tomorrow. I wish you a very good evening.